The only way that you can place proper value upon something is to put it through a time of examination. I'm just going to be real blunt about it. The reason why people despise what the Spirit of God has just showed them, the reason why they don't place any value upon it, is because they never put what the Spirit of God just showed them, they never put it through a scrutinizing process. They never put it through a time of examination. And when you don't put something through the time of examination, if you don't put it through a testing process, then what happens is you're not able to place proper value upon the item itself. In order to determine the value, you have to put it through a scrutinizing process. You have to put it through a testing process. You know what that word prove means? It means to test. Test all things. Prove all things. It means this. It means to examine. The last definition of this word prove means this. It means to scrutinize. Scrutinize all things. Examine it. Put it through the test. Why? When you put it through the proper test, you can determine whether or not it's valuable or not. Now, how many of you understand this? Until you put it through the testing process, we're going to have the tendency to treat it with little value. Why? You don't know what it's worth. Right. Years ago, my wife and I liked to go to flea markets. And we saw this one particular pot, a kettle. It looked really neat, and they had a pretty heavy-duty price tag on it. But see, we didn't know what the metal was because it was painted silver. And we just weren't sure what it was. And I'm not going to pay that kind of a price for something that I'm not sure is exactly what kind of metal it is. I mean, if I can't determine what kind of metal that thing's made out of, I'm not going to pay that kind of price. So, we saw it kind of entering in the flea market there. So on the way back, we checked that pot out again. And I thought to myself, my wife said, come on. I said, I don't even know what kind of metal it is. I'm not going to pay that kind of price for that thing. So I went home and I got to talking to one of my people at the church. And they said, I'll tell you what you do. You just take with you a magnet next time you go to that flea market. And put that magnet up against that pot. If it sticks, it's solid copper. If it doesn't stick, it's not. And so I went ahead and my wife said, because we love to go to those kind of things. So she said, let's go on up there. So I said, okay, but let me get a magnet first before I go. So we went ahead and I put that little magnet in my pocket, and off to the flea market we went. Well, I went ahead and there's that pot. He hadn't sold it yet. There's that pot right there, painted silver. Not sure exactly what kind of metal it's made out of. Could be aluminum. Could be, whatever. And so I went ahead and picked it up, kind of turned my side away from me, a little bit, took that magnet outside of my pocket, and sure enough, it stuck. I mean, it stuck hard. I said, honey, this thing's solid copper. And the moment I recognized it as being solid copper, now all of a sudden, the price in my mind goes up. Why? I put it through a test. I know what it is. Now I can treat it with the value that it should be treated. Before, we'll leave it there. Now that I know it's solid copper, that's a whole other ball game now. So I went ahead and dickered him down a little bit, got the price down a little bit on it, and I shelled out the money, and off we go with our little silver pot. But see, I know it's copper. Didn't hesitate. Went and took it to an individual there in Tyler, Texas. And they dipped it in a solution and was able to get all that silver paint off of that copper pot. She shined that copper pot up. I mean, you could see yourself in it. Wonderful copper pot. Got it to this day. It's almost been 20 years since we found that little prize at that little flea market. And it's still hanging in our kitchen to this day. But see, I had to put it through the test. I had to put it through the test. And what's sad is this. The Spirit of God shows us things all the time. But because we don't put it through the proper tests, then we don't consider it to be valuable enough. And so therefore we place little importance upon it. And so therefore we become guilty of quenching the Spirit. And so what we have to be taught is this. There is a test that we need to be putting what the Spirit of God shows us or what we think He's showing us. Or I'll put it to you this way. There's a test that we need to put what is being thrown at us. There's a test that we must put these things through to determine whether or not it's a value or not. If it's not a value, then we need to go ahead and treat it with little value and keep our attention on more important things. Y'all out there? But if you don't know what the test is, then the Spirit of God could have showed you something that He wants to get across to you, but because you didn't put it through the test, you missed it and you placed a little importance upon it, therefore it's not able to benefit your life any at all. Well, what is the test? How do we prove the things that the Spirit of God does? How do we make sure that they're of value? Number one, above all else. Number one, does it agree with what the Word says? Does it agree with the Word? Number one, above all else, does it agree with the Word? Little different. We're not going to be swinging off the chandeliers tonight. I can tell you that right now. You listening to me? But I'm going to give you some things that will help you. Look at what it says here. Does it align? Does it agree with the Word of God? How many of you know, no matter how it comes, and no matter how spectacular it comes, and no matter how great of the manifestation it was, you still have to put it through the test. Yes. And I don't care who it comes through. Amen. What's sad about all this, is unless you know the testing process, unless you know that process, then what has to happen is you have to go by who says it to determine its value. Well, listen, guys, whether we like it or not, there isn't a who said it in the country that can't miss it.
That's right.
They can miss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are y'all out there? Mm-hmm. I've had some bigwigs say some things to me by the so-called Spirit that didn't pass the test. If I'd have gone ahead and governed my life by that, I'd have been in major trouble. But the thing about it is, here again, if you don't know the test, then you gotta go by who said it. Well, so-and-so said it has gotta be so. It ain't gotta be so. So-and-so could have missed it. Thank you for those two head shakes. I appreciate that. Are y'all out there? What's the test? Number one, does it agree with the Word? How many of you know, whether we like it or not, if we're ignorant of the Word of God, there's gonna be some things that we're gonna judge as being the Spirit that ain't the Spirit at all. We gotta know the Word. We're not being destroyed because of a lack of the move of the Holy Ghost. We're being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We're not being destroyed for a lack of the anointing. We're being destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. But what's most people run into? Holy Ghost meetings, anointing. Come on now. Come on. And yet the Bible says very plainly we're being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Very plainly. Jesus said, you shall know the what? Truth. And the truth will set you free. But now the thing about it is this. Let's just go through this. Number one. Letter A. Does it align itself with the context? What was said before the Scripture? What was said after? Does what the Spirit of God, what He's showing me, does it agree with the context in which the Scripture is set? How many of you know, guys, you can't just pull Scriptures out of context. Think that it's the Spirit of God trying to show you something and it ain't got nothing to do with the Spirit of God at all because you pulled it out of context. Letter B. Does it agree with parallel passages written by the same authors in other books? How many of you know parallel passages? Parallel passages are simply passages in the Bible that speak about the same subject. So if the Spirit of God is trying to get something across to you, if it agrees with the context, then ask yourself the question, does it agree with what the Spirit of God is showing me? Does it agree with parallel passages written by the same author in some of his other letters? How many of you know Paul wrote more than just one letter? Letter C. Is what the Spirit of God shows me, does it agree with parallel passages written by other authors in the New Testament? How many of you know there's some things that James says and some things that Peter says that are talking about the same subject? And they're going to agree. Parallel passages written by other authors in the New Testament. You need to check those things out. In other words, does it fit what everybody else is saying about this subject in the New Testament? And then the last point is this. What is this? Letter D. Last point is this. Does it agree with the general theme of the entire Bible? Does it fit the general character of the entire Bible? How many of you know, if it doesn't line up with the Word, I'm sorry, but I got to treat it with disrespect. I got to treat it with little value. Why? It doesn't pass the test. That's number one. Number two. Go with me, if you will, to John chapter 16. John 16. John 16. John 16. The first thing that we have to ask ourselves, this thing that the Spirit of God is trying to get across to me, does it agree with the Word?
Yeah.
Does it agree with the Word of God? Number two, John 16 and verse 13. Look at what it says here. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Number two, the second test that what the Spirit of God seems to be showing you needs to be put through is this. Would the Father say this to me personally? Look at what He says here. Verse 13, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. The question that you have to ask yourself is this. Would the Father say that to me personally? Because how many of you know what the Spirit of God is going to be saying to you is not going to go against what the Father would say to you personally. In other words, I like to put it like this. Is what the Spirit of God saying to you, does it fit the character of God? Does it fit the character of God? Is this something that my Father would say to me? You know, I've been pastor for a number of years. I've actually had men come in my office and say to me, I've been praying, and it seems to me that the Lord's leading me to leave my family. How many of you know, guys, the Father will never tell a father to leave their family?
Wow. Hello.
See, because it doesn't fit the character of God. Well, the Father seems to be telling me not to work. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to get a job. I'm just going to study my book. How many of you know the Father? First of all, that doesn't line up with the Word, because if you don't work, you don't what? Would the Father tell a father, now just don't work? How many of you know work's God's idea? Work was instituted in the Garden of Eden before sin came into existence. How many of you know, guys, work is not the curse of the fall? Adam was put in the garden to dress it, to tend it, to cultivate it, and to protect it. Work is God's idea. Are y'all out there? But see, some of these people get this idea. Well, the Father, no, listen, it doesn't fit the character of the Father. So therefore, what you're hearing, what you think you're getting from the Spirit of God, ain't the Spirit of God alone. So you need to just toss it aside and treat it as nothing. Y'all got it? Number three. The third tool is found, if you will, in John chapter 16, verse 14. Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all the truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He shall show you things to come. Verse 14, He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. Number three, the third test that it has to pass is this. If I apply what the Spirit of God seems to be showing me, if I apply it, will it glorify God? Look at what He says here. He shall glorify Me. How many of you know there's a lot of things that I hear people saying that it's the Spirit of God telling me to do this. And yet when they apply it, it doesn't bring any glory to God whatsoever. Doesn't magnify God. Doesn't please God. Doesn't adorn the gospel of God. Doesn't attract people to the gospel of God. Actually pushes them away from it. Offends them. Actually gives them more ammunition to speak against the gospel. You listening to me? No, I'll put it to you this way. If it doesn't pass the Word test, if it's not something that fits the character of my Father, if when I apply it, it doesn't glorify God, I'm sorry, but it doesn't pass the test. But if it does pass the test, then from that time on, we are to treat what the Spirit of God is showing us with respect, with honor, You know, have you ever seen people that have you ever seen on Discovery Channel these diamond traders? Have you ever watched those people? I mean, they have huge silk napkins filled with diamonds. Well, and they bring, if it's the program I remember, they bring this silk, big bunch of diamonds into this store. And these guys sit in chairs across from one another. Did you ever see this? They sit in chairs across from one another. And the seller allows the buyer to look at these diamonds, to examine them. Now they've got some good ones in there. They've got some bad ones. You know, this is a bunch of diamonds here. And then what they do is they put a cloth over their hands. And underneath this cloth, by signals, by their hands, they tell them what they're willing to pay for that group of diamonds. And they can't just separate one. It's all or nothing. And they do their little signs. You can see that cloth just kind of going. And that guy's feeling his hands. And he's determining how much this guy's willing to pay for this diamonds. And then that guy, and they all of a sudden the hands come out. They shake hands. That's it. Those diamonds are bought for that price that they agreed with down here. And no words whatsoever. Nobody else knows how much they paid for those diamonds at all. Then they take those diamonds back to their own personal shops. And from that time on, those diamonds are separated. And now they're treated with much more value than just being lumped together with. Listen, guys, there's been a lot of things that the Spirit of God is trying to show us in a service while pastor's teaching us. Even on a cassette recording as we're driving down the car, all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to talk to us about something. And all of a sudden, because we don't put it through the test, then we get our attention on other things. We treat it as nothing, and we become guilty of quenching the Spirit's activities in our lives again. He says, quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. He says, prove all things. Now, then he says this. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Y'all doing okay? Realize this is a little bit, this is ground laying stuff. And I'm going to lay ground, some more ground tomorrow. And then Sunday morning, we're going to package it all up and you'll be real happy that you came tonight. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. He says, prove all things. The next one, look at this, number 4. Hold fast to that which is good. Underline the phrase, hold fast. You know what the hold fast word means? It means this, keep secure. Keep secure. Keep, here it is, glory to God, keep firm possession of it. Don't let go of it. Hold fast to it. Man, keep it firm. Keep firm possession of it. And then he says this. Hold fast to that which is what? Good. You know what the word good means? Glory to God. It means this. It means approved. Well, what approved it? That proving test. That testing time. That examination time. They proved it. They proved it as right, as good, as valuable. So what he's simply saying is this. He says, when you hold fast to that which is good, he's simply saying to you three things. Letter A, it means that you recognize and you acknowledge its value. When you hold fast to something, it means that you recognize and you acknowledge its value. Why? You've put it through the test. It's passed the test. It's something that the Spirit of God is dealing with you about. And so what you do is you hold fast to it. You, letter A, you recognize and you acknowledge its value. Letter B, when you hold fast to it something, that means this. That means you allow it to become a part of you. When you hold fast to it, you embrace it. You allow it to become a part of you. In other words, you apply it to your life. What are you doing? I'm holding fast to this. It's something God's dealing with me about. It's something God's talking to me about. It's passed the test. I'm not going to let go of it. I'm going to hold fast to it. Letter C, it means this. When you hold fast to that which is good, I know this is difficult for Friday night, but this is the way it is. Letter C, it means this. It means you don't allow your attention to be placed on things of lesser value. When you hold fast to that which is good, that means you do not allow your attention to be placed on things of lesser value. Why? This is past the test. And I'm not going to turn my attention to other things of lesser value. How many of you know going to the restaurant is nice, but it's not as nice as what the Spirit of God just showed you? What the Spirit of God has just showed you is more valuable to me. It's more valuable to me than getting to the restaurant on time. Y'all out there? Now, what I find interesting with all of this is this. When you quench the Spirit, it simply means that you treat with disrespect what the Spirit has just showed you. Now, listen to this. I said all of that to say this. When you quench the Spirit, you treat it as nothing. You treat it with little value. You disrespect it. You treat it as nothing. And the moment you do that to something that the Spirit of God is trying to get across to you, then the life within that revelation, then the life within that truth is not allowed access into your life. How many of you understand this? This is the main point. This is it. I said all of that to say this. Every time the Spirit of God reveals something to you and you've tested it out, that's the Spirit of God. There is always life attached to what the Spirit of God has just showed you. Do you guys understand this? There is a life attached to every thought that comes your way. It is either a Zoe life or it's a destructive life. It is impossible to think a thought that has no life attached to it whatsoever. I'm going to say that again. We need to think about what we're doing. There is not a thought that you can think of that has no life attached to it at all. The thoughts that you think of are either going to have a victory life attached to it, a success life attached to it, or it's going to have a destructive nature attached to it. How many of you know, even the simple thought, here you are, you're walking through a bank. It's in a podunk little town. Have you ever had this thought? I think I could knock this bank off. How many of you know? Even that thought. How many of you have ever had that thought? Yeah. How many of you know that that thought does have a destructive nature attached to that thought? If you embrace that thought, if you place some importance upon that thought, and if you act upon that thought, how many of you know that destructive nature is released into your life and you're going to end up in jail? There's not a thought that you can think of towards your marriage that is not filled with either a Zoe life, God kind of life, or a destructive divorce life attached to it. It's impossible. And that means then that when the Spirit of God has just showed you something, what He has just showed you has a life attached to it. And if you treat it as nothing, if you disregard it, if you ignore it, then the life within that thought is not allowed access into your life. Do you understand this? That every time the Spirit of God shows you something, every time the Spirit of God reveals a truth to you, do you realize that what the Spirit of God is really saying to you is this? That your life is not as good as it can get. Yeah. Do you understand this, guys? That if your life is as good as it can get, if your life is as hunky-dory as it can be, then the Spirit of God would never have to show you anything else ever again. I'm going to say that again. If your life is as good as it can get, then the Spirit of God would never have to show you anything else ever again. But every time the Spirit of God shows you something, every time a truth is revealed to you, every time He shows you something to come, every time He guides you into a truth, listen guys, He is revealing to you that your life is not as good as it can get in that arena. I'll never forget that I'm studying a particular subject, and I wasn't getting, I couldn't see it. There's something I'm missing. I'm just not getting all that I need to get. You know, and the Bible says that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So I'm praying that prayer. Father, open up my eyes of my understanding. And all of a sudden, I was seeking the answer. I was seeking this truth. What's the answer? What's the solution here? And all of a sudden, I saw it. And the moment I saw it, I heard on the inside, I never had this experience before. The moment I saw it, right on the inside of me, I heard these words. Well, I wonder how many other things you don't know. You know, we have been praying that our eyes of our understanding being enlightened. That prayer in itself should give us a clue that we don't know everything as we should. And all of a sudden, I saw that, and here, right in here, I heard these words. Well, I wonder how many other things you don't know. And there was the answer. I got it. And so, about 2 weeks later, I'm searching for another question, for another answer. I'm looking. I'm searching. And all of a sudden, there comes the answer. I saw it. I'm studying. I saw it. And for the second time and the last time, never happened, but two times, I heard right on the inside. Well, I wonder how many other things you don't know. Every time the Spirit of God shows you something, reveals a truth to you, in actuality, what He's trying to do is tweak your life. He's trying to give you something that you need to have in order for your life to be bettered. And with that thought, with that idea, with that suggestion, is a life attached. But see, if you treat as nothing what He shows you, if you despise it, if you disregard it, then the life within what He has just revealed to you is not allowed access into your life. And therefore, the area that He's trying to tweak remains unchanged. Why? Because you have despised the Spirit. You have treated as nothing what the Spirit of God just showed you. You become guilty of quenching the Spirit. I find it very interesting that it seems to be that the general consensus is that when the Spirit of God shows us something, even while the pastor is speaking, even while we're listening to a cassette tape, even while we're watching something on TV, spirit, and we're all thrilled with it when it happens. And some of us even write this stuff down. Glory to God. That's good. Oh, God. But then here again, we treat it as nothing. We never hold fast to it. We never make it a part of us. Therefore, that area remains unchanged. Y'all out there? You listening to what I'm saying? I'll close with this. That's the reason why that I am convinced that the worst enemy to Spirit's revelations in our lives is our misplaced attention. Do you remember? We got to go. Glory to God. Time goes by fast up here. Must be the air or something. There's not enough. I don't know. Too far up here. North. But the thing about it is this. Do you remember what God told Joshua? You turn not from the right hand or to the left. But you meditate in this thing day and night, that thou mayest observe. What's he saying? Don't let your attention become misplaced. You remember what Proverbs says? Keep your heart with all diligence. Do you remember what he says? He says over there in Proverbs, he says, let not your eyes depart from them. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For their life to them that find them, health to all their... What's he saying? He's saying you keep your attention focused on what you have just seen. Why? Because what happens is if you get to placing your attention on things of lesser value, then what the Spirit of God is trying to get across to you is not allowed access into your life. Now, I'm going to say this because I know why I need to say this, so I'm just going to say it, and you just never mind about it. That's the reason why I'm the bed of affliction. That Brother Hagin said there was two revelations about faith that got me off the bed of affliction. He said, while I was reading Mark chapter 5, he said, all of a sudden I read verse 34, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold of thy plague. He said, the moment I read those words, I heard these words, if her faith could make her whole, then your faith can make you whole. How many of you know that's something that the Spirit of God just showed Brother Hagin? What would have happened if he hadn't placed any importance upon it?
Yes.
Then, a few months later, he said, I'm laying there in bed, and I'm reading Mark chapter 5. And I get over there into Mark chapter 11. He's reading Mark 5. And all of a sudden, he said, I threw my Bible on my lap. He's still paralyzed, still got sickness and disease, going through his body. And he looked up into heaven, and he said, with all due respect, Lord, if you were to come down here in the flesh, and if you were to point your finger in my face and say to me, you do not have faith, you do not believe. He said, Lord, with all due respect, I'd have to call you a liar. I do believe. I do have faith. And the moment he said those words, the Spirit of God said to him, you do believe as far as you know. And then he began to show him about Mark 11, verse 24. What would have happened if what the Spirit of God revealed to him, if he had treated it as nothing? I'll never forget. What am I saying to you? If the Spirit of God has just revealed something to you, put it to the test so that you make sure that you do not let go of it, so that you embrace it, so you make it a part of you. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow night, but I need to say this. I'll never forget, I was working with this particular couple. I'd come into contact with them. To make a long story short, he is a clay circuit tour tennis player. They were going to be sent over to Europe to play on the clay circuit, tennis. And, before they could go over there, they had to take a medical physical. They took the physical, and now they found a tumor about the size of a golf ball up against one of his organs. So they immediately rushed him to MD Anderson Hospital. Well, that was on a Thursday, and they got him up there on Tuesday, got him admitted. They took some more x-rays. Now this tumor has grown from a little golf size to 19 inches in diameter. One of the fastest growing cancers known to men, been known to kill children in Africa in one day. It's fast growing. It kills quickly. This kid's got it. Well, his mom's a believer. And so she actually believed and used her faith and got the situation turned around. I mean, his kidney, things were shutting down, things were happening, she was able to turn that situation around and get him on the upswing. The doctors are amazed at his recovery. Well, the doctors came in. I'm talking about placing proper value upon what the Spirit of God shows you. That's what I'm talking about. Not disregarding it and putting no importance upon it. And so what happened was, here this kid's laying there. Now he's on the road to recovery. He's doing fine. The doctors have come in, and now they've convinced her, through much convincing, that they want to put in this boy's body a certain protocol, a particular kind of medicine. When The mother told me that when they started talking to her about that medication, she kind of got a hesitancy, but the doctors, she overrode it and let him go ahead and do it. Well, she went ahead and as they were putting, you know, getting everything up and running here, you know, putting the medication into his system by this drip thing, you know. She said, I went outside into the hallway and kind of leaned up, because the doctors are all in there, they're all working with him, and I leaned up against the door jamb of the door, and I'm just praying in other tongues. And she said, while I was praying in other tongues, she said, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God said to me, when the doctors leave, go in there and lay your hands upon that protocol and command anything that would cause death to come out. She said to herself, well, that's a really strange request. I just don't understand that at all. But she said, when the doctors came out, I didn't let myself talk myself out of it. I went ahead and did what the Spirit of God told me to do. And so she said, sure enough, time progressed. He got a whole lot better. Got out of the hospital. In fact, eventually came to Rhema, attended Rhema for 2 years, and now he's in Virginia he does healing schools in Virginia. Travels, but anyway. After he was totally healed, the doctor pulled her in and said, you know, I really shouldn't be telling you this, kind of closed the door, I shouldn't really be telling you this, but see that protocol that we placed upon your son, we tried that on 15 other people and all 15 died of them except for your son. Now, what would have happened if she hadn't placed any value upon what the Spirit of God was showing her? Are you listening to me? We're going to talk more about this tomorrow night. But the point that I'm trying to make is simply this. Too often, see, the Spirit of God is our helper. And He's trying to get things across to us. But see, we don't place any value upon what He gives us. And we miss out. Are you all out there? Now, what we're going to be talking about tomorrow night is this. I know I was teaching on this line a couple of months ago. And I read the verse, quench not the spirit, despise. And the moment I saw the word despise, the Lord said to me, that is going to be the general response. That is going to be the most common response to what the Spirit of God shows people. That's going to be the most common response. So tomorrow night I'm going to talk about why do people treat as nothing what the Spirit of God shows them. I'm going to talk about it. You all out there?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? But I want to say it again unless you missed it and then we got to go. Anything that the Spirit of God shows you, if it passes the test, there is a life attached to that revelation, to that truth, to what He's just revealed to you. If you allow, if you embrace it, if you hold fast to it, then the life within that truth will be allowed access into your life. If you treat it as nothing, then you keep the life from having an impact upon your life. And therefore the area that He's trying to change remains unchanged. Because you understand this, guys, the only way that He can change you with His life is to get you to accept His truth. Are you listening to me?
Oh, yeah.
I want to read it one more time. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Hold fast to that which... approve all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Y'all got it?
Yes.
So let's be very careful. Next time pastor gets up and speaks, I don't care on what subject. If he starts talking about husbands, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God shows you some things, guess what? The Spirit of God's trying to get something to you. All of a sudden, he starts talking about employers. How many of you know the Bible has much to say about employers? And there's something the Spirit of God kind of brings to your attention. Guess what He's trying to do? He's trying to help you. But see, too many of us are treating it as nothing. Isn't it true, guys? That's the reason why a lot of people aren't born again right here in this city today. Because the truth was given to them. The Scripture was given to them. But see, they treat it as nothing. You understand? Father, we just thank You today for Your goodness and for Your mercy. Father, I realize that this has been a little abnormal for an itinerant minister to come in and speak about these things. But Father, we ask that each one of us, Father, have listening hearts, listening ears. That Father, that the Spirit of God reveals things to our own hearts. Things maybe even that we didn't place the importance upon as we should. Help us, Father, to remember those things. Help us to be reminded of those things. Pick those things back up again, Father, so that we might be a doer of your word and not just a hearer of your word, allowing the life within the instructions, the life within the revelation to have access into our lives and to be able to change the area of our lives that needs to be worked on, needs to be tweaked, needs to be changed. And Father, I thank you for the Spirit of God that lives within each one of these under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father, that as they go home, even as they go home, even as they lay in bed tonight, may you put them in remembrance of things that you've spoken to them. Help them to put it through the proper test. And if it's you, help them to place the proper value upon it and embrace it, not let it go. Write it down. Keep it before them until they do something about it. And Father, I thank you that as we do, we'll see greater glory in our lives, greater victory in our lives, greater peace in our lives, greater success in our lives. Father, I thank you that every area of our life will be enhanced. And Father, we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pastor?
Or was I right? Is he one of the best? Amen. In Galatians chapter 6, just real quick tonight, we're going to prepare our hearts to receive an offering. But I'd be amiss... Lee, if you'd come, please.